Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. Hopefully some more people will come in. But I would like to introduce our Global Missions Engagement Coordinator, Joyce Temple, who's here to tell us, you feel called to missions, and now what do? Because sometimes you can feel absolutely lost and not know who to contact.
Yeah.
So she's going to walk us through this.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this workshop will focus on just presenting to you some resources we have developed for those who are interested in missions. And the resources are not only good for the person who feels a call to missions, but also NMI presidents or mentors, people who maybe know somebody or pastors or leaders from the local churches that know somebody who feel a call to missions. That this workshop will help you as well if you are in this position. This workshop will also talk about the application process. If you want to serve, not going, let's say, to a work and witness trip, but serving as a volunteer or longer term in Nazarene Missions, we'll also explain the process for missionary service. We will present the opportunities available and how today we do have several, almost 100 opportunities available for you to serve all over the world with different lengths of service and different types of ministry. So we'll be talking about that as well. And we also will be talking about what Global Missions is looking for in a missionary candidate. This is also something very important, not only for the candidate, but for mentors, for NMI presidents, so they know what we are looking for and they can work on developing that call, helping somebody to develop.
Let me sit on this
call.
Side so you don't have to keep
both
sides
of
the room.
That's good. That's even that's easier for me. Thank you so much. Yeah. So as you know, was presented, I am the engagement coordinator. In 2019, the Board of General Superintendents, they presented to the General Board a new framework for Nazarene Missions. And that new framework had a new missionary sending model. It was something new, something that we thought was going to help every local church to prepare, to nurture, to prepare, to support, and to help us, you know, sending missionaries from all over the world. You know, the Church of the Nazarene is a global church. It's been for many, many years. And what we want to have is that we want to have representation. So they saw the need of creating this office in Global Missions, which is my office, the engagement office, that helps not only resourcing local churches with good information on, okay, so somebody's called to missions, what do they do now? But also help the regional offices all over the world in creating resources that are applicable, that are contextualized for our global church. Today, 77% of the members of the Church of the Nazarene are out of the region USA and Canada. So we do want to have representation. We do want missionaries from all over the world, from anywhere serving, you know, in any place. So we decided to really focusing on creating something that is global, resources that are global, helping local churches anywhere, you know, developing the call of their missionary, their the people that are attending churches, or even youth pastors or lead pastors, people who are feeling a call to missions, young people who say, oh, maybe I can give a summer to missions, maybe I can give a gap year to missions. So what do I do next? Let me share a little bit about my personal story. And that's when the directors of Global Missions came to invite me to be the engagement coordinator. I really related to that need, the thing that they are trying to work on because of my personal story. So as of now, probably you notice that I have an accent.
No.
Right? No, not at all. So I've been here in the U.S. for 15 years, but I am originally from Brazil. Yes, so I am from Brazil, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 16 years old. So I was with friends, my family, they already accepted Jesus Christ and they were attending a church, and I was very kind of like, no, I don't want anything to do with, you know, Protestants, because the churches in Brazil, most of the churches are Catholics. So I was raised as a Catholic, but I didn't go to church, but I was like, no, I don't want to change religions or anything like that. But then one day God, you know, spoke to my heart and said, you need to go to that church. And when I felt something that I never felt before, I needed to go, I was prompt to go to church, and they were having a prayer meeting that evening. So as I entered the church, I felt God's presence in a way that I've never felt before. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it came kind of like making my head warm, and then my shoulders were warm, my arms were warm, and then my whole body was warm. And I said, I'm experiencing God in this place. And I felt the conviction of my sins. And I decided, okay, I don't need to talk to anybody because God is speaking to me. And I just need to bow on my knees and ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I did that day. And God really changed my life. And 1 year later, I received a call to missions. And we're going to talk about the ways that God calls his people. And as a teenager, I said, okay, now what do I do? So I decided I need to get involved in my local church. So I started really walking with my youth pastor and learning things. And then I started preaching and teaching. And then so I have to go to college. What kind of degree that I can get that will help me, you know, doing missions? So I did nursing, and then I went to seminary, and I finished my studies with theology and with emphasis in missions. And I used to give every summer from I lived in the south part of Brazil, so I used to go to the Amazon rainforest every summer to help planting churches. And then I finished my studies, went to Kenya, served there, and there I was invited to come to the U.S. And so I've been in the U.S. for 15 years, and I believe here's my missionary field. God brought me here to just serve him here and serve our local churches, serve our people, because we know that there is a lot of potential here. Not only for multicultural ministries. My husband and I, we co-pastor a Portuguese-speaking ministry at a local church in Lenexa, Kansas. So we are the pastors of the Portuguese-speaking ministry. So we work with our local church, we serve there, but also I work at the Global Missions Office. I worked there for the headquarters for many years as a translator. So I used to translate meetings, general board meetings, or IBOE meetings, any kind of global meetings. I was a translator or interpreter for the resources or for their meetings. And then when I finished my degree, my master's in missional leadership, I already knew everybody from Global Missions. I didn't have an assignment. I ended my assignment in Africa, and I came here as a kind of like a partnership with a district in Indiana to work on missions mobilization, taking teams to Mesoamerica and to the Amazon rainforest, and then also working with developing multicultural ministries. And then when I finished my master's, Global Missions invited me to go to Kansas and serve there at the headquarters. So this is a little bit about my life and how God brought me here. And I was working there for 2.5 years. That's when the new missionary sending model was launched. And then the director said, we need an engagement coordinator. Who could be that person? And then they invited me. And when they said, what we want you to do is that we want you to develop resources to help our local churches to identify those that are called to missions and engage them in missions, I was like, that's a dream job. Because when I was a teenager and I felt a call to missions, I went to my youth pastor and said, what do I do next? And they did not know what to do. They did not know what to tell me, like what was my next step regarding serving with the Church of the Nazarene. And then, you know, I went to the lead pastor, to the NMI people, and they did not know the process. So now, when I serve in this position, and I've been doing this job for 2 years, I always think that information is power. So what can we do to get the information to the local churches, not only in English, but in our 5 official languages, so we can reach all the regions and help all the regional offices in just informing our local churches. If you have somebody who feels a call to missions, what can you do to nurture that call? What can you do to help that person until he or she is ready to be sent, you know, is ready to be deployed? So that's kind of like what I do. And as I mentioned, I love my job. And one of the things that we did when we started in this office is that we developed those resources that I was talking about. And we call them Send Me. And we call them Send Me, and I'm sure you can remember Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" It's interesting that Isaiah, when he gave that answer to the Lord, he did not know how he was going to go, where, when, or for what, but he made himself available. And God is still calling people and waiting for them to say, "Here I am, send me." And I can tell you from experience, most of them say, "I don't know when, I don't know to where, I don't know to do what, but I am available. I am available." So we created those resources to help those people who are making themselves available, but they don't know what else. Of course, we do have some people that know for sure, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God spoke to me very clearly. And so they have more direction. But many people say, I have this burden in my heart, and I want to do something for missions. I love cultures. I love different languages. And maybe I won't serve, you know, for the rest of my life, but I can give some months out of my year, or I can give a gap year. When I was 17, I was reading the Bible, and I read the calling of Jeremiah. And when I read that calling, God really spoke to me. Jeremiah was young, and he said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm too young." But God said, "Do not say you are too young, because wherever I send you, you will go." And when I read that Bible, those Bible verses, I felt that God was calling me. But there are different ways that God calls people. And I want to present to you, I want to ask you actually a question before we go to watch a short video. For a long time, people thought that, okay, if God calls me to missions, it has to be a revelation. It has to be something like, I have a dream and God spoke to me and said, I'm calling you to go to Paraguay to serve. Or some people would say, okay, if God is calling me to missions, it has to be for a lifetime of service. And that's it. I have to go to seminary. I have to, I don't know, to become a pastor, to get my license. And then that's how it needs to happen. But God calls people in different ways, for different types of ministry, for different lengths of service. So what I want to do, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, is that I shared my story and how I felt that God called me when I was reading Jeremiah 1, and then, you know, God spoke to me by using those verses. So do we have maybe a couple of people that could share your story? Or you don't have to share your story. Maybe a story of a missionary that you heard before of how God called him or her to serve in missions. Anybody? Like maybe a couple of people?
I was at a Sunday school conference.
Yeah.
Several years ago in St. Louis, and I just completely and totally felt God called me to missions. Mm-hmm. And then God called my husband to be a pastor and honestly said that I needed to take the back road and like put me on pause. And it was hurtful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it broke my heart. I'm like, oh. But it's been amazing.
So. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Who else? Yes.
I'm a retired police officer, retired pastor, and when the Paraguay trip come up, I asked Jenny, I said, "Do you think we can go?" She says, "We can do it." And for us, you know, she's been on, this will be her fourth, this will be my second, and we want to go together, but this whole trip so far has been, you know, the financing, we've gotten money from things that we didn't even realize were out there. Old insurance payments, you know, something, a refund of something. She won a contest.
Wow.
So, never won anything in my life.
what a coincidence.
Yeah. No, seriously, it was really that way. And she's retiring her job in 2 months, so, you know, we want to be able to do things. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a short term, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, mm-hmm. whatever, we're open to it. So
praise the Lord.
That's why we came up here to listen.
Awesome. Great. Here, so. Thank you. I don't know if it's not working. It was.
What are we doing? Are we playing her?
Okay. Oh, got it. Good, good.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. So, as I was mentioning, we did not have any resources. When we created this office, okay, so what do we do? First thing, information is power. Let's inform our people. And one of the things that we created is this card that talks about callings, different ways that God calls people. Because, thank you, as I mentioned, you know, for a long time, people thought, oh, it has to be, the calling has to be this way and for that type of ministry. So I have a video to show to you, and it explains what the card is about. And this is a resource that we believe is very helpful, especially for like young people. Because it talks about, you know, you can give a summer of your life, or you can prepare yourself. You don't have to think, oh, I'm not called to be a preacher. But I love missions. I love different cultures. So you don't have to think like, oh, I have to go. I don't want to go to seminary, but I have to. So let's watch this video, and then we can talk a little bit about different ways that God calls people. And I think you'll be able to identify the way that what we are presenting with the stories that we shared. Okay, so let's watch.
Have you ever wondered if you are called to missions? There are a number of ways God might lead you in order to reveal that calling. Godly people around you can help you to identify and affirm your calling, no matter which path God uses. One path God uses is that of certainty. It's when God speaks directly to you, or through His Word, a sermon, or a testimony. Another path is that of availability. Maybe this is your path if you are willing to do anything and go anywhere to share Christ with others and make a difference in the world. A third path is that of interest in other cultures. When God confirms through experiences with other cultures and a personal interest that cross-cultural ministry is for you. A final path is that of opportunity. God shows you an opportunity that can be filled with your God-given gifts and abilities, and others see it too. Some people's paths lead them to serve for just a few days. Others are called to a few months or a few years, while still others are called to a lifetime of service. When the prophet Isaiah heard God's call, he did not know how, when, where, or for how long that call to serve was going to be. But he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." If you are interested in missions and saying yes to God's call, visit www.opportunities.nazarene.org to see the current opportunities for service through Nazarene Missions, or email us at sendme@nazarene.org. We would love to help you find a place where your unique calling meets a need in the world.
Well, first of all, these paths that were presented here are not exhaustive. There are so many ways that God calls somebody. And then when I look at the card and I see certainty as one of the paths, I remember what I felt when I read those Bible verses. I felt that certainty that God was speaking directly to me through those Bible verses. But maybe with you can be availability. You love the Lord. You are retired. You just retired. You have time available. You love cultures, and you want to give to missions. Maybe it's interest. You love, you know, other cultures, and you went on a work and witness trip, and you felt like, oh, I could do that this more often. I could give like 2 months out of my year to go to missions every year. Or opportunity. I was recording one of our missionaries for videos that we are launching just to inspire people for so they are able to see the wonderful things that God is doing all over the world. And he mentioned that his story was because he asked his wife, she worked for Global Missions, and he said, he asked her, do you think that we have enough people to fulfill all the needs that we have all over the world? Because we do have opportunities available. Global Missions work with the needs on the field, so the field will let us know what their needs are, and then we promote those opportunities. So he said that he asked her, do you have enough candidates to fulfill all these positions that are available? And she said, no, not at all. We never have. We're always trying to do lots of things to get people to say yes. And he said, when I heard that, it for me was like God was speaking to me, why you're not making yourself available to fulfill that need? And then he just said yes to the calling. Now, one thing that I think is very interesting is that these paths of calling, essentially, they are not they do not only apply for missions; they apply for other ministries as well. So maybe you're not called to missions, but you are called to something else. And by reading these paths, you might identify with one of them. Now, something that else that I wanted to mention, I don't know why. Okay, good. One thing that I really, the buttons are so close to each other that I think I'm, okay, good. Yeah, so what are we looking for in a missionary? A lot of people ask me that question when they call our office or when they email us. You know, they say, well, what are you guys looking for? One of the interesting things about Global Missions is that other missionary agencies, most of them will work with one type of ministry. They'll say, we only plant churches, or we only work with medical missions. Now, Global Missions has a variety of ministry opportunities, which is amazing. So we are always telling people, okay, you don't have to really focus on only one thing, but we do offer ministry opportunities in the area of, you know, healthcare, church development, church planting, communications, administration, finance, construction, third space ministries, lots of opportunities. So that's an amazing thing about the missionary agency of our global church. A lot of people also ask me, what is the difference between NMI and Global Missions? And I'm sorry to going back to that subject, but it's just that now I remember because people ask me about that. So do you know what is the difference between Global Missions and NMI?
NMI is local, right?
Yes. NMI is a local ministry. It has every local church should have an NMI ministry, and it works on advocating, promoting missions, and informing, praying for missions. Now, Global Missions is kind of like the missionary agents of our global church. It's amazing to see that we have a missionary agents for our church. And our workforce today is almost 500 missionaries. We have almost 500 missionaries serving in more than 100 countries all over the world. And they are not only from USA and Canada. We have missionaries from 64 countries serving in almost 100 countries. It's amazing to see our structure. And because we have this global structure, we can offer many ministry types. But then, you know, we have some kind of like some elements that we are looking for in our candidates, even for short term or longer term. Of course, the assessment is a little bit different when we are working on, you know, missionary candidates that are willing to serve, you know, for many, many years. But we do have, we developed what we call 12 core elements for effective service, that it really shows what we are looking for in somebody, in a candidate. And these elements also help our local churches, help mentors, and help the candidates to develop their call if they are not ready now, just work on the development of their call, their life, preparing for ministry, or even mentors or NMI presidents in helping those candidates. And even if they're already applying, if they're ready to serve, just looking into those elements help them to better serve God's kingdom. So we'll talk about these elements for a candidate to be faithful and effective in ministry. And the first one, the first element that we are looking for in a missionary is spiritual maturity. And why do you think that is important? Can anybody say some? I don't know, just why do you think spiritual maturity is important?
There'll be bad days, and you need to be confident in why you're there, and you're there for a greater purpose.
Mm-hmm. God's the voice with of you. God, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be able to share their faith,
yeah. So if you are thinking about answering a call to missions, or if you know somebody and you want to mentor that person, you really need to start working on looking at your spiritual life or looking at the person's spiritual life and think, okay, so how is your devotional life? Do you pray every day? Do you read the Bible? Do you go to church? Do you study the Bible? Do you help others? There are many ways for you to just think about areas of your spiritual life that need growth. And we always need growth. No, nobody's perfect. But thinking about how can I develop my spiritual life so I can better serve God's kingdom, in missions. What needs attention right now? If I'm thinking, okay, I really need to focus on my spiritual life, what do I need to improve right now? Do I need to really focus on getting nurturing a lifestyle of praying and reading the Bible, not only to prepare something or to talk to somebody else, but something really personal, me and God. Another element is clarity of call. I've been working with a lot of students, university students, and because a lot of them had that vision, that idea that, oh, I need to be a minister, I need to go to seminary if I really want to be a missionary. So I'm really working on that a theology of call. And we can use other words for call. We can think about, maybe that clarity of call, that word calling, maybe for you, it's kind of like something that you are, a direction that you're feeling from the Lord. Or a burden when you hear about the countries that have not been reached yet, or the people, or you hear about Ukraine now and you say, okay, maybe I could go there and help and do something for the local churches there. So we are using different words. So burden can be used, direction, conviction. So I felt convicted when something happened, when I heard a missionary speak. Most of the time, there was a research done that the calling will happen when somebody is really praying and talking. There's that personal time with God, and then God speaks to them. And the second most often thing that happens when somebody says, okay, I really received a call to missions, is when they are hearing from a missionary. So they go to a service, and then the missionary is speaking, and then God is prompting that person's heart to say yes to a calling as well. So clarity of call is very, very important. And not only for the beginning, for you to prepare yourself, but also is important when you are facing difficulties on the field. But then you know for sure, okay, I've been, under a storm. Lots of things are happening, or you are facing cross-cultural shock that happens with missionaries. But then you have that certainty that God called me to be a missionary. Maybe you are not seeing results because we are a culture of results. Oh, nothing is happening. Nobody's accepting Jesus Christ here. But then you have that clarity of call. But God called me to be here. He sent me here. So that's very, very important. So questions that we always help mentors, or when we work with people who are trying to have that clarity of call, some questions that we ask them. So why do you believe that God is leading you into cross-cultural ministry? with the Church of the Nazarene? That's a question that I always ask people, because as I mentioned, we do have all the missionary agencies. So we ask people that kind of question. How and when did you send God, did you sense God's calling? That, you know, that experience. You can ask yourself or can ask somebody else, do you have a specific area of ministry that you feel you're being called? Maybe you're a nurse and say, okay, I can use my nursing skills to serve. Or maybe you just finished your degree in communications, and we do have needs in this area of communications all over the world. And maybe you can say, okay, I have this specific area that I can minister and I can be a part of. Maybe you can say a pastor, an evangelist, chaplaincy, or teaching English as a second language. I'm a teacher. I can teach English as a second language. So many ways that you can think about your calling. Now, another question that we always like to ask is that, how does your family feel about your calling? How does your spouse, your father, your mother, your children? That's something very important. Having a solid and confident understanding of your ministry call will help you to always to continue pressing forward when difficulties arrive. So that's what I was mentioning. You know, when you're there, nothing is happening. You think that nothing is happening. If you have that clarity of call, that's very, very important. So this is something that we are looking for in our candidates: clarity of call. Next one, relationship management. What do you think this means, this element, relationship management? What do you think?
I would say if you're a husband and wife, that would be the primary for me. If I don't have a good relationship with my wife, how am I going to have a relationship with people that I'm a minister to?
Yeah, that's a good point. What else? Anybody else? Sorry, I lost this. You know, the first reason when we read, we have researches about why missionaries end their assignment earlier than it was proposed or planned. You know, the first reason why missionaries leave the field earlier than planned or expected, you know why?
Relationships.
Conflicts. And conflicts not with the locals, but conflict with peers, with other missionaries. So it's very important that we really have this ability to maintain healthy relationships, that we know how to deal with others, how to work as a team. Because usually, you know, the Church of the Nazarene is not going to send you alone somewhere in the middle of a jungle. No, you're going to have a support team. You're going to have local leaders or field leaders that you will be working together. So learning how to manage relationships, how to manage conflict, is very, very important. There are some conflict management trainings that we have that are very, very important. Because as I mentioned, that's the first reason why people leave the mission field earlier. Because they cannot, you know, get along with their peers. They cannot get along with people that are different, or they were not prepared to work with a leadership that has a different culture or a different worldview, and so they have lots of conflict. So being able to resolve conflicts, to know what to do to manage conflict, is very, very important. So questions: how do you respond or react to the idea of being a servant leader? That's one of the things that we are looking for in a missionary, if they have a heart of a learner. That's very important. What is your reaction when things do not go as you planned? What is your response to criticism? If, I don't know, a peer criticizes you, or you're not learning the language well, you're speaking so badly Portuguese. Why you're doing this, or you're not doing what you're supposed to do? How do you manage that? This is very important. The next one is holistic wellness. So maintaining a good psychological and physical health is very important for you to handle the stress of serving people. It is stressful. You have cross-cultural shock. you have lots of differences, food, places, language. So it's very important that you have this holistic wellness. Just think about what areas of your character or personality do you have to guard most in order to prevent problems for yourself. What do you do? Do you like to read, to relax, maybe, you know, work when you work on stress? Do you like to exercise? Do you like to talk to people, to listen to songs? How do you see yourself? These are things very important. How is your physical health? Another very good question. What does your friend see in you that needs improvement? Because sometimes we don't recognize in ourselves, but maybe a family member or maybe a friend can tell us what kind of improvement we need to have in order to have this holistic wellness. How do you plan to balance your family time, your study, your prayer time, your ministry on the field? How do you plan to manage all of that? This is all very, very important. Now the next one, number five, is cross-cultural experience and adaptability. And you know what I've seen now, especially, I don't know here, I don't know this district well, but our district in Kansas City, we are developing a lot of multicultural ministries. And our pastors are really now, we're thinking of training pastors to deal with cross-cultural ministries in their local churches, with people from other cultures being part of their local church. This is very, very important. So do you have any example of, or anything that you can think about when we talk about cross-cultural experience and adaptability in your local church? What can you think of when we talk about that element?
We have a Nepali congregation that uses our church on Saturday.
Awesome. So if you are thinking to serve overseas, just think about, okay, I need to start having that kind of experience. So if I have a Nepali ministry, I should go there and try to see how will I handle just not understanding the service.
Right.
Recognizing the songs a little bit, but not understanding the words. Or not being able to communicate with people very well. How would I feel? So let's start doing this right now. Don't wait until you get off of the plane over there to have those kind of experiences. Another thing is willing to be adaptable. We, in our church, we have, now we don't have four anymore. We had four ministries. We had a Swahili ministry, a Portuguese, a Spanish, and an English. Now the Swahili is having a break. But working with the leadership of those four ministries were difficult. And we needed to practice adaptability, adapting to the ways of that people do things and sharing the same building, you know, sharing the same calendar. It was a little bit difficult, but it's beautiful. It's how heaven is going to look like. So we need to start working on our interactions with other cultures. So if you want to serve overseas, are you interacting right now with people from different cultures? And not only saying hi or going to eat food in an Indian restaurant. No, it's interacting with people. What would you see, what would you see as the biggest challenge in working with another culture? Start asking those kind of questions to yourself right now. How would you handle language barriers? So if you go to that service, how would you handle thinking that for 6 months, that's the only kind of service you are going to have? How do you handle that? It's very important to work on that. Cross-cultural communications. Just learning the language is not enough, because there are more to communications than language.
Context,
lots of context. Some countries that you go will have lots of context. What is context? Things that are kind of like in the culture, but you don't see it very well. And then, or will be kind of like, okay, so I know what the rules are because it's being explained to me. But in other countries, no, you don't have those things spoken, but people know. So they know how you should react. I remember when we moved here in our first service, for us in Brazil, the main service is on Sunday evenings. So that's when you have the main service. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning was just for Sunday school classes, and we have a short service, but that was all. So when we went to the first service on Sunday morning, we were kind of like, we dressed jeans and really kind of like, okay, it's just a Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. And everybody, the church that I was attending, everybody was dressing up. Mm-hmm. So we felt kind of like, oh. So if they wear that kind of clothes in the morning, we can imagine in the evening. So evening came and they had a prayer meeting, and we thought, okay, so this is the main meeting of the week. And we went there and we were all dressed up, and they were all wearing t-shirts and jeans. And so we were kind of like embarrassed a little bit. So communication happens in many ways. Context is very important. So you need to start putting yourself in those situations right now to know how you feel and to know how you'll be able to handle those kind of situations. Another element is church involvement. So this is something that's very important for us. We ask our candidates, how are you involved in your local church right now? What are you doing to serve your local community right now? Because that's not going to happen, you know, in a magic way when you get there on the field. We need to see you engaged right now. Pastors or leaders need to connect these people to places where they can thrive. Now, if you are a pastor or a leader and you know somebody that is feeling a call to missions, start helping them right now, engaging in their local church right now. This is very important. We are really trying to educate our churches as well on that. On if you know somebody who feels a call to missions, help them develop their call in your local church, doing things right now. Help them to grow in their call. Provide leadership opportunities. This is very important. The next one, number 7, is professional development. So this is in the area that you're going to serve. So if you, let's say, if you want to be a nurse and serve on the field as a nurse, that's, you need a kind of like experience in training and, you know, everything that is necessary for you to serve well. So what skills do you have that the Lord could use? So get yourself ready now so you can serve the best way we can. You know, the missionary calling today, at this time, at this era, it's really evolving. It's evolving. We are, as I mentioned, we are really looking for people who are experts in communications, who have communications degrees, because we do have regional offices overseas that need people to help them tell the story of all the things that God is doing on the field. So they are looking for those kind of people. Finances, because of our global structure, we do have fields that need somebody who knows how to handle finances. So we are looking for somebody who has a finance degree that can help us. And that professional development is very, very important. Now, something that it seems very similar, but it's also very important, is educational preparation. So anybody who's called to serve needs to have, you know, the necessary educational background. So if you are going to plant churches, we need you to be ordained. So you need to work on just developing your education so you can have that. If you're going to be a doctor, serve overseas, we need you to finish your studies and get ready for that. So that's also something that we are looking for in a missionary. Theological coherence. Why do you think that is important? Why do you think that we are looking in a missionary for theological, for him or she to be
representing the Church of the Nazarene?
To know how to articulate our theology well.
Well, and part of that is you're going to deal with other missionaries now where you're at. There are going to be questions, well, what's the difference between a Nazarene or a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian? So you have to be able to distinguish.
Yeah, and articulate biblical foundations of our Christian faith. What is sin? What is salvation? So they need to know that. They need to be prepared for that. Even though you may say, oh, but I will be, you know, I'll be serving as a finance guy. But you need to have theological coherence.
Yeah, because they're going to look at you as being a missionary.
Yes. And you need to live out and communicate our beliefs well, even though you are going to be working with finances. But that's what we are looking for in a missionary. Number 10, Mission Evangelism Foundation. So it's very important that you have the vision of our church of everybody's called to make Christ-like disciples. So how are you going to share the beautiful story of salvation and finding today different ways to share that story, different ways to reach out to people? So we want to see in that person, that candidate, that responsibility to make disciples. This should be evident in every candidate for missions. Just we ask our candidates, see opportunities now. Don't think, oh, when I get there, I will evangelize. When I get there, I'll tell people about the love of Christ. No, think about opportunities now to share Christ now. Leave, you know, the gospel. Leave out the gospel. Maybe sometimes you won't be able to speak, but we want you to leave out the gospel. And always think about that need and think about different ways to approach people to share the gospel. Now, global perspective. We are hoping that our missionaries will evangelize, not westernize people. So we are not hoping that Brazilian missionaries or American missionaries will go and, you know, make American disciples, Brazilian disciples. No, we want our missionaries to have this global perspective. It's very helpful to know and to contextualize what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're going to say, what you're going to do, because God is so creative. And the beautiful thing about the Church of the Nazarene is that we are one church with many different cultures. And we prioritize that. We want churches and we want Christians to be, you know, important, relevant for their community. We want the ministries of our missionaries to have sustainability. So people of the community will look into what you are building there, what you are helping them to accomplish, and say, this belongs to us. This church is our church. It's not an American church. It's not a Brazilian church. It's our church. It's part of who we are. So we really want our candidates to recognize the pitfalls of ethnocentrism. Like, oh, these are the songs that we should sing. These are the clothes we should wear. This is the way we should set up the church. You know, these are the days we should meet. So we need to look into that and be prepared. And just work on also being aware of culture bias. Sometimes we think we are better than others. Mm-hmm. Oh, these poor people. And then we go with that idea that we are much better than they are. And so we do want our missionaries to have this global perspective to understand. And we have good books for our candidates to read and prepare themselves for that. And finally, last but not least, is financial responsibility. Why do you think financial responsibility is an important element that we are looking into a candidate?
Because you need to be able to handle your own finances and not go asking for help everywhere else.
Yeah. What else?
You need to be a good steward because it's a gift that you're being given from others who are supporting you.
Yes. So we always ask our candidates, how do you handle your money? Mm-hmm. What kind of debt do you have now? Because you're going to raise funds for missions. We don't expect that you're going to raise funds to pay your debts when you're going to serve. So are you able to articulate a clear understanding of tithing and generous giving? Mm-hmm. Are you tithing? Those are questions we ask.
First question, are you tithing?
Yes, it's a very important question. And, you know, are you faithful in those practices? Are you a faithful tither? That's very important. So these are the 12 core elements for effective service. Now let's talk about the next steps. Let's talk about the application. So you are preparing yourself. We do have a card. Talk